Hello and welcome to the show, The Brand Called You. I'm Sandeep Tyagi, your host, and today the brand we are speaking with is Jeff Davis. Jeff is the founder and chairman of 12 Mavens. He's also the founder of Plan the Attack, among many other things that he has done over the years. Welcome to our show, Jeff.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, let's start talking about your professional journey. I see that you trained as an illustrator, going to an art and design school, and now you run an organization for business leaders. How did that journey unfold?
Well, that's the next progression. You go, you learn how to paint people, and then you start, working with CEOs as soon as you finish. But it was a bit of an unusual route, I guess. And I would say that I'm not as common of a type of brain in that I have this artistic brain, and I actually have a Master of Fine Arts degree, but I'm also very entrepreneurial at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I went to, for undergrad, I went to Savannah College of Art and Design, which was named the number one art school in America, I'm proud to say. And, yep. But I was always thinking, how do I turn this passion for drawing and turn it into a business, not just be like the starving artist who's, working at the diner at night to keep the lights on. And so I was very entrepreneurial about that and started looking into different types of art and illustration, how I could turn that into a business. And then I did, and I was able to scale that nationally, and I ended up loving the business side of it more than the art side of it.
So we'll talk about how you created a business from art, but so you built a business, gave you a taste of what it means to be a business leader, and then you thought of creating a business organization. Were you missing something as a business leader? Why create a business organization?
Yes, I was. I did what a lot of young up-and-coming entrepreneurs do, and I learned things the hard, painful, expensive way. Got kicked in the face, as you do, and learned, all bruised and bloodied up that, oh, that wasn't a good way to do that, and trial and error. And I finally, a lot of money and a lot of anxiety later, realize maybe if I had some other smart entrepreneurs and CEOs that I could talk about all these ideas with before I did them all, mm-hmm. I could maybe mitigate some of the risk and expense and stress, in the conversation and brainstorming part first. And so while I was growing that company, I started meeting casually with other entrepreneurs that I knew, and it was good, but it was too casual, mm-hmm. and there wasn't really a framework. Sometimes we'd show up, sometimes they wouldn't. Sometimes we ended up talking about, some football game for half the time. Sometimes it was more about beer than business. And I loved it, though. I was the guy that just naturally rounded everybody up and got it started. And I remember thinking, man, I really like doing this. And, mm-hmm. If at some point I'm able to sell my company and pick whatever I want to do, what would I do? And it was this.
Yeah, I relate to that. I have some experience in that. They say being CEO is a very lonely job. So being in a group is very, very helpful. I have certainly benefited from being in many, many different organizations, including something similar called YPO, which has given me tremendous opportunities to learn from my peers and grow. Yeah. But you chose a very interesting name, 12 Mavens. What is the story behind that?
So maven is actually a really old word, but mm-hmm. just never really used, or it was used a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But I guess more recently, it's some of Malcolm Gladwell, you know, the author has written some great books. He mentioned, you know, mavens a little bit in some of his books, which is basically a maven is someone who shares their wisdom and knowledge with others. Mm-hmm. And so the concept was, what if you had 12 different mavens that all are, you know, really good at different types of things or from different types of businesses, have different skill sets that they're really strong at, have different past experiences that they could share with others and have had some, you know, success in different things. And what if you had 12 of those different people all combined together, mm-hmm. sharing their wisdom and their knowledge with others? And yeah, I kind of wish we didn't pick that number 12. I mean, 12 is a good amount. It really is a good number for an intimate group of CEOs.
Yeah. Yeah. So is the organization then strives to put CEOs in groups of 12 people?
Correct. Yes. Okay. Yeah. 100%. And they're all the busiest people on the planet. So, you know, you might not have exactly 12 at every meeting. Sure. We've had some with a little bit more. We've had some with a little bit less. I've had some.
There is a structure around it. Yeah. So that you don't spend half the time talking about beer or game. You spend it with most
yeah,
of the time
and that's the facilitator's job. That, you know, when you have a dedicated facilitator, that their mm-hmm. whole job is to herd the cats, have right. a framework that you use to make sure it's moving, to make sure this person's not talking too much, to bring in this person who's not saying anything, to probe deeper when somebody mentions something, to say, well, why did you do that? Or what was the name of that website? And what, you right. know. And to extract right. value, extract value. That's their job.
Right. You also have built or founded another organization or activity called Plan of Attack.
Yeah.
When I saw that, I thought, what is this, some war game?
Well, you know, what's funny is we did the first Plan the Attack in December 2013. Mm-hmm. And it was actually before 12 Mavens started. It was just this one-time thing that I always thought would be awesome to do. And unfortunately, in the decades since then, there have been, you know, a lot of terrorist attacks, and the world is a little different than back then. And now it's like when I reserve a ballroom that's going to be full of, CEOs, I have to tell the hotel, don't worry, it's not like a terrorist organization planning out all their, you know, attacks for the coming year. And I tell them, it's planning your attack in your business and in your life as an entrepreneur. Right. But I like that name, is Plan the Attack, mm-hmm. because that's exactly what we do all day long. That event actually started when I was growing that company that that I started as a entrepreneurial artist. I was working super hard every night, every weekend, burning out, and we had just had our first baby, and I was trying to figure out, how can I grow a company and actually disconnect at night and not have to go back to the office till 3 a.m. and not have to work on the weekends and not have to, it's tough. I got to a point where I remember there was this one rare occasion where after a day of work, I went with my wife to this, you know, shopping area where we were living at the time. And, you know, the sun's going down and we're walking around, and it was a weeknight. And I remember thinking, wow, this is crazy. You know, I'm doing this at like 6 o'clock on a weeknight, and I had worked hard all day, you know, and I see all these other people, and I remember thinking, wow, can you imagine if you could do stuff like this after work every day? Mm-hmm. Like, that seemed crazy. And then I thought, like, well, how do you do that? And so what I did was I said, all right, I'm not going into work on Friday. I'm going to drive somewhere remote with a pad and a pen, and I'm just going to sit there for however many hours it takes and plan my attack for how I'm going to build a business that I can grow and that at some point I can sell, get the hell out of there, cash out, and do whatever I want next. And right. then that's what I did. And it was the first plan, the attack, you know, it was just me sitting there. And then, and I did it again a year later for the next right. year. I did it again a year later. And then I remember thinking it'd be so cool to do this with other entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of people would think that planning, I mean, many people don't do it, but I presume if you are a CEO, you are used to some idea of planning. But they think of it as something, just like you said, you drive somewhere remote with a pad and a paper and a pen and plan your thing. How does being in a group and brainstorming in a group activity help make this a better way of planning the attack?
Yeah, well, planning, we have like the big annual event, Plan the Attack, which is all day long from morning until dinner. And then we have,
where is it held?
It's held in Florida in December. So it's really nice. Sometimes it's December and you can actually have lunch outside, you know, but then we have these 12 Mavens groups that meet every month for a few hours to stay on track. And that's what started 12 Mavens after we did that first all day event. Other entrepreneurs were coming up to me like, that was awesome. It'd be great if you could do something not quite at that scale, but like, you know, we could do throughout the year, not just a once a year thing. For the event, we do all kinds of things during the day where we get up and get into little groups of two or three, or where we have people lined up in seats, knee to knee with each other and doing rapid fire brainstorming on things and meeting each other. And we have entrepreneurs that have built insanely successful companies, you know, get up and give talks about how they scaled, how they sold for some cases, like hundreds of millions and stuff like that is pretty awesome. This is definitely a very different experience than doing it by yourself. I know, because I've done it by myself and I've been in the ballroom and it's a different experience. I always wish that I wasn't having to do stuff that day other than just be sitting in there. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, let's switch gears to a little bit of your personal journey. Tell us about your early years. Where were you born, grew up? What kind of a childhood structure did you have, which has obviously impacted in what you have become?
Yeah, I was actually born on an Air Force base in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. My dad had just finished dental school. And at that point, he had to do 2 years in the Air Force. You know, this is in the 70s. And so he was a dentist in the Air Force. And he was in an Air Force base in South Carolina. And he mm-hmm. joked that he was battling on the front lines against tooth decay.
Look the enemy in the teeth.
That's right. And but he did 2 years, served his country in that way. And then I was from Florida. He was from Florida. He, after 2 years, went back to Florida. I grew up in Florida. And I've been entrepreneurial, like, you know, since I was a kid. I think back to the different things. I remember trying to sell like Matchbox cars I wasn't using to other kids in my class. And I liked skateboarding. And then I remember asking my dad if I could use the copy machine in his little dental office to make little skateboard magazines that I could try to go mm-hmm. and sell to the other kids that skateboarded. I took the, you know, and stuff like that.
Very interesting. So this entrepreneurial bug, you know, bit you pretty early. It was just inborn somehow. Though, yeah. Was your dad an entrepreneur as well?
He had a business. He was a dentist, but he had his own practice. And so he was a business owner. Yeah. And I remember thinking it cool. Thinking it was cool that he was the boss.
Yeah.
And you know, and our family were not physically big. My dad wasn't like a big guy, but I thought it was cool that he was the boss. And sometimes, you know, other kids on my soccer team, they'd say, you know, my dad's boss said he has to da da da, and I remember thinking, and you know, their dads were a lot bigger than my dad, but I remember thinking that's cool. My dad doesn't have a boss.
Yeah, yeah. What was the most memorable advice that shaped you as a young person? You know, some conversation you remember, or that moment I went, aha, this is something I'm going to do?
Oh, man. I'm trying to think. At a young age, I was a late bloomer. Like, mm-hmm. I was still, you know, 28, I was still acting more like I was 18, probably. Mm-hmm. I think I was like getting my master's degree, you would have thought I was like a freshman in college, mm-hmm. because I didn't really do much as far as having fun in that regard, like in high school or anything. So I was kind of a late bloomer. But I'm trying to think of what it was.
Well, let me reframe. If you were to go back and meet your 28-year-old self, what would you tell that person?
Yeah.
If they sought your advice.
Yeah, I would tell 28-year-old me, mm-hmm. to, one thing I would tell 28-year-old me is, you know, I would spend it as it came in. You know, it was like, and right out of grad school, I had my first job after my master's degree. And, you know, it was my first time really making money, and I get the paycheck, and it was like, that's how much I had to spend until 2 weeks later when I got the next one. You know, it wasn't like, you know, you should be putting this much away, because I even knew that I wanted to start this business. Mm-hmm. But I would tell 28-year-old me, you know, to live off the you know, bare minimum possible, be putting away, be planning the business earlier on. I would tell myself to be learning all the skill sets a little sooner. Mm-hmm. You know, I was learning as I went when I was launching that company. I would tell myself that it's good to work hard. It's good to put in that, you know, do whatever it takes mentality, mm-hmm. roll your sleeves up. But it also doesn't have to be quite so insane at the point that I was doing it, where I was working till the sun came up. You know, I'd be there in a suit and tie in my office, and I could see it starting to get bright outside again out the window. Mm-hmm. You know, I would be walking to my office at 4 a.m. and in total, you know, in downtown, dark everywhere, and think, you know, be doing more to be able to take some of that weight off. Because
I'm hearing two very different things. One is save to build up for what you want to do, not spend everything. And second is have some work-life balance. But that probably came later, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I pressed the gas down as hard as you can press it for years, mm-hmm. until I got to a point where, you know, my wife was really patient and understanding and believed in the vision. But, you know, it's like, how many years are you going to, mm-hmm. just be sitting there at home at night while your husband's like back at the office again all night again, you know? And mm-hmm. I didn't want to be celebrating my revenue, you know, alone or with wife number 8, you know, in the, like that idea didn't sound like winning to me. And so, so I realized that, like, forced me to realize, all right, I got to figure this out. That's, you know, one of the things that led to me having that day to plan out everything. But it also connects, because if I had started setting money aside earlier, I could have maybe gotten some more help a little sooner. Or if I had started learning more about how to raise capital, how to, you know, meet with investors, funding a startup, if I had learned some of that, I might not have had to put in so much sweat equity. You know, for my parents, the answer when I was in my 20s was, get a master's degree in that thing and you'll be really good at it and you can do it. Mm-hmm. Versus now I look back and I was like, or skip the master's degree and hire somebody that already knows how to do that and, you know, and grow the business.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good segue to the next question I have. You know, failures in our life teach us something. Have you failed at something?
Anybody that tells you they haven't failed is a complete liar, or they've played it so insanely safe their whole life that that in and of itself is a failure.
Right.
So failure pretty much risk. That's everybody.
Yeah,
for sure. And I know highly, highly successful entrepreneurs. I mean, very, very successful entrepreneurs. And every single one of them could tell you story after story after story of when this happened. Oh, and then there's the time that this happened. Yeah, I mean, all day
long.
Can
you share something from some failure from which you learned and, you know, changed something in your life or journey?
Yeah, I would say a big failure for me was the company was growing really fast. Mm-hmm. And this is like 2006 and my company's growing like this. And I decided to double my staff and quadruple my office space, buy my first house and have a kid all at the same time. And if you know when the Great Recession started, you know, we're coming right about to there. And I went all in, double down, quadruple down. Mm-hmm. And I hired a couple of sales guys that I was had a bad comp, wrong people. Mm-hmm. And just burned through cash. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is, by the way, these were all decisions I made without having a peer group to say, hey, what do you think about this? Hey, what if I do this? By the way. And so, you know, I burned through six figures in about 6 months, which, you know, at the time I was in my early 30s, I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was really painful. That, you know, not pipeline, not perceived value, like actual money that could go to kids' college, could go to the dream house, could go, you know, whatever. And I had been eating ramen noodles and, you know, living, you know, in a little apartment in those first few years longer than I wanted to, just so I could put it back in. Mm-hmm. Sure. And then I did. And then, then guns were blazing and that was painful.
Okay. So you've learned to moderate and risk control that much better since then. The next section, Jeff, is on the spot. So I'm going to ask you some quick questions. Whatever pops in your head is the right answer. Who's the best entrepreneur ever?
You are.
Okay.
Clip that one.
If you could meet a historical figure for dinner, who would you like to meet and what would you talk about?
For best entrepreneur ever, I mean, sometimes I think maybe it's Elon Musk because he's become the wealthiest entrepreneur in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. But as far as entrepreneur, that's, you know, he might be a miserable, you know, it's like if anybody walked a mile in his shoes would hate that life. Maybe, I don't know. But if we're talking just entrepreneur, I think he's got to be
number one.
He's maybe, yeah. And
it's a very common answer.
Multi-billion dollar companies. It's hard to argue with that.
Sure. Historical figure?
Historical figure? I don't know. Maybe it would, sometimes I think, you know, go back to like a Andrew Carnegie. It'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah. And what would you talk about?
I think the success principles, and that's what, you know, he had that guy, Napoleon Hill, actually spent 20 years interviewing all these icons that you can't even believe they're real people, like Henry Ford and Edison, and actually distilling all the things that they said into that book, Think and Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. And I think to hear some of those things directly from his mouth or some of their mouths would be pretty, pretty awesome.
What is your biggest concern with the state of the world right now?
How long is this interview?
Quick, whatever is the first thing.
How many hours do we have? It's insane. To me, I think it's insane. What the hell is going on? Yeah, sometimes you think it's time to leave Earth.
Politically?
Everything. Everything. There's so much craziness. People have gone too far in like every direction, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy. People have just been so disappointing that, you know, I've had where I have a scheduled appointment with somebody who mm-hmm. they're the one selling stuff to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there and they don't show up for the meeting. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And then another Zoom meeting, they're the one again who would be getting the money. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, if anything, it's supposed to be, you know, the other way around. Oh, prospect didn't show up. It happens, you know, but I'm like, I'm the prospect. And I had, you know, just like the other day, I had multiple meetings. They're like, are you kidding me? This person right. didn't even show up either. No mm-hmm. message. No, sorry about that after. Like, mm-hmm. what the hell is going on in this world?
Mm-hmm. What is the achievement you're most proud of?
My family.
Tell us about them. You have kids? Tell us about your family.
I have two teenagers, and we spend a lot of time together. I made a decision when the first one was born 16 years ago, almost 17 years ago, that being a great dad and being there a lot was number one above revenue, income, business mm-hmm. opportunities, all of it. Mm-hmm. And being around, you know, for my wife as well. I used to have a little post-it in my closet that was a reminder. It said, be a great husband, be a great dad, be a great brother, be a great son, be a mm-hmm. great friend. Mm-hmm. I had that on the post-it in my closet. And it wasn't just, you know, optimize lead conversion on the post-it in my closet.
Maximize profitability.
Yeah.
Got it.
It was those things that I looked at every day. And I was able to take my family, my wife and kids, to travel the world for an entire year. We've been to 29 countries together. I mean, together, going on this that crazy once in a lifetime adventure together. I took them and we all lived on a little tropical island called Koh Samui in Thailand for 2.5 years. Right now we're living in a really old house in the French countryside in the south of France, for a year, maybe more. And so I'm proud of that.
Excellent. We are to the end of our time here. Last question. What is brand Jeff Davis in your own words?
Well, because you have brand in the name, I've got my brand on my head.
Right.
Where is it? The brand over here. But that's that's what I do. Brand. I would say the brand Jeff Davis is the entrepreneur who loves traveling and being with his family and helping other people genuinely.
Well, thank you for being on our show, Jeff. Here you have it, the brand who has made a business out of helping people help themselves better. There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You videocast and podcast. Platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.